Talk about your trip to Europe and the different labor organizations you saw. Then you had a meeting with this woman in London. So if you want to talk about that, or going back much further to talk about when was the first time and why that you think you became concerned about women in the union. Because the first time you mentioned it was when you got up at that meeting in 1919. So I wanted to know if before that. So either one that you want to talk about. Sooner or later, we'll talk about them both. So whichever you feel more like talking about.
Yeah. When I got more interested in women workers, I mean, that's absurd. I think from the minute that I started to work, well, the first thing that when I started to work, I started to work in the cable car factory. There were all women, with the exception of the men, were pressers. So I had to be concerned, and I was interested in what they were doing. Only I didn't agree. I didn't want. It seemed to me that I was, because I scrubbed toilets there in addition to my regular work. When I started out, I was getting $5 a week, and the rent was $8 a month. So, but they were all women. I don't remember a time that I wasn't interested in women. I don't remember. Even when I played buttons and ticks and ball with the boys, I was interested in protecting the women. The girls, I had an army of women. Both of the boys would touch my, I would tear their eyes off. I mean, it was in me. It seemed that I was always protecting the women. Since I don't remember a time in my life that I wasn't interested in protecting the women, in one form or another. So I don't know. From the union point of view. From the union point of view, before we had a women's local. The women's local came into being in 1920, and that was after the slaughter that all women were defeated at the Boston Convention. But I was interested before that. I was chairman of the Arch of the Micron. There was there was a woman, by the way, she was a philosophical anarchist. But everybody looked down upon her. She wasn't very attractive. She didn't dress attractively. And I was, other than doing some reading, because I wanted a master reading. I read in Hungarian and in Jewish, whatever I was able to lay my hand, whenever I had time. And I admired her. I recall, I want to make a point about Paris. Fanny, her name will come to me. She was a philosophical anarchist. I'm sure that I've got her name down someplace. See, I was interested in her, but she ignored me because I was ignorant. I was uninformed. Yet, I was aggressive. I was aggressive because I was chair lady. See? She I was standing in front of our house where we lived in Chicago, and I saw her coming from the library with a pile of books on her. I says, "Friend, what are you reading?" She says, "What's the difference?" So between my sisters, the two, "What's the difference, Fanny? What's the difference? What's she doing?" And later on, when she was attacked in the shop, I wanted to kill those people that bothered her. I mean, defend her. Anybody that would touch it, I was ready to commit murder. I can't imagine, I can't think of her name. She died here in San Francisco.
Well, Sarah, was it always an attitude of wanting to protect women?
Yeah, always. But later on, it was a question of protecting workers. But primarily, most of the time, my interest lied was protecting women. I was interested in protecting the worker, man or woman. But primarily, when it came to whatever I could advance a woman on a job or in an office, I tried my level best to do that. You see, it was with me.
Now, when was the first time, do you recall, that you made a public statement? Was the first time when you grabbed the chair on the floor there, or had there been earlier?
Oh, more. There were times before. My goodness, it was from Francis. Well, it wasn't. This wasn't exactly only for women. It was a question of conditions in the shop, but Frank Rosenblum. He has never forgotten, because the old factory, I was no cheerleader, I wasn't anybody. I was just a rebel. I didn't know what a rebel meant, to be honest. If I could tell you in Yiddish or in Hungarian, I knew I wasn't satisfied. We were there was discontent. As I say, this was in 1917, before the revolution, before the revolution. There was a girl, and I can see her face before me. She had a face like a cow, a blonde Jewish woman, girl. She didn't speak English, and she couldn't write, I don't know. And the four lady bothered her, so she used to stick her finger on the line, got a hold of the four lady and I said, and I have it now. I did the same kind of work. He said, I couldn't stand it. You know, I imagine if I would have been in the four lady's place, I would have gotten a hold of Sarah and kicked the hell out of her. Is that any of your goddamn business? But I took that chance. I couldn't stand it. The girl stuck her hand was bleeding. I got out of the room and I said, "If you don't lay up, well, I'm going to..." You know, she stopped. She said, "Well, she doesn't do the work right. What do you want me to do? I'm responsible for that. I will show her how to do it right." I mean, this was my... And I was no officer. I wasn't even on the executive board. Nothing. When you ask me about when did I start? I don't know. As far back as I remember. This is number two. I'm still trying to think of that Fanny. She was... Damn it. But then it came in the same factory. The conditions weren't right. And how much of them much? If they climbed up three flights of steps, the elevator broke down and they didn't give a damn. Tomorrow they'll fix it. So, there were a couple of Russian girls, Jewish girls, we made up, call a stoppage, make a stop. We were against the, we had already preferential agreement in heart, just no mind. Made a stoppage. We ran down the Union Arm. And Fred goes and I said, instead of strike down while it's hot, hit down while it's hot. I said, well, what are we, a bunch of slaves? Make us climb steps like that. I mean, so this is my, was it because of women? It was workers in general. It was men and women. But primarily, it was started by a group of Amish. And then, of course, when 1920 came along, and there was time that, as strong as I was, apparently, many times I was thinking of ending, and all of it became unbearable. They made it so miserable for me. You really have to be super strong, superhuman. But I said, oh, go up, that's to the person, whatever the struggle, to the end, to the bitter end. So that's it. What else do you want? My darling, you can make something out of this. Now, if Hilda would be here, it's too goddamn bad. She would have had a lot to tell. She was acting in different ways. She fought for women. Not quite as actively as I did, in different ways. But
well, Sarah, when you took the floor and pounded the chair on the floor after the women were defeated, was that the first time, though, that in your local you made that kind of a scene about women?
No, that was way before. That was before. This was when Hilda came into being. See, that was 1918 and 1919. I took the floor also because women were mistreated. They refused to give me the floor. I made a motion. And then somebody got up to speak in favor of the motion. I wanted to know what it was, and it was Hilda. And I didn't know. I didn't know it. After the meeting, of course, I took up the chair. I said, I want the floor. And I said, no, I was impossible.
What was your motion then?
The motion to rectify certain evil that took place in the shop or in the factory. It wasn't for myself. I didn't. For myself, I would take a scissors and hit the examiner of the foreman. No, I didn't need the union for myself. Strange as it may sound, I didn't need it. But you see, I was everlastingly fighting the battle for somebody else. Of course, by fighting for others, I improved my own condition. There's no, that's a lot of hooey that I didn't gain by it. And that would be a lie. But under the circumstances, I didn't need, because I was rude. I was as bad as they were, as the former was. They were mean. They were rotten. I could have just simply take this instead. You know, they get under my skin. And they did. If they did. But the point of it was that I tried to make my work good. But I used to get excited when they got a hold of Sarah Julius. I'll show you a letter from her. When I had to go to Youngstown, Ohio during the war. When they bothered her, that poor girl had to support a sick sister and a sick brother, and my heart went. And a Jewish examiner. I said, "You dirty." Now he didn't bother me. He bothered Sarah Julius. You understand? See, it wasn't that I fought my battle. Not with nobody. That's it.
Well, Sarah, when was that the first time, though, in the local that you did something like that?
No, I did that. I did that right along. I was always in the opposition of the. I was always in with the left. I was with the. Schneid was with the opposition. I was with Schneid until he became a communist. Then I. Or when he sided in with Levine against Frank Rosenblum, then we parted. We got into a fist fight. I didn't care. When I was thought I was right, I didn't. Well, it could be my own brother. You understand what I mean? I wasn't always right. I told him, I said, I'm not always right, but 90% out of 100 I am. And when they publish, I don't give a damn, as long as it's carried out. Sell them to credit for it, I don't care. To this day, I feel the same way. I told Lennon Lee just yesterday. He said, what about you? I said, I don't give a shit. I don't mean anything. I said, I don't give a shit. So he says, what am I? I said, you're a big shit. You know, I'm a bit too McCoy. And that's the way I was, and that's the way I'm going to end. I wasn't the best kind of person to deal with in a union. I was nobody's lackey. I couldn't be a lackey to a foreman. I couldn't be a lackey to the union. I followed rules. You made the rules, I abided by it. But then you violated those rules yourself. I'll let you have it.
Right. Sarah, tell me about going before the trade board. When we stopped last time, you mentioned the incident of going before the trade board, and then there was a scribbling. You were sitting there waiting to go before them.
I didn't go.
Well, what was all that about?
Well, I did go. I don't remember. I see what you mean. See what happened in Hatcher from Marx, a business agent. That was when I was a business agent you're talking about. The company had a labor manager. When the business agent had the business to perform, they couldn't go into the shop without the representative of the company, the labor manager, they called him. As a rule, the labor manager was a university graduate. Most of them they were professors. I know. I can tell you quite a bit. Miss Schuchter was one of them. There was Carpenter, and there was Jacobson, Sweet. Beautiful soul. The other business agents, they went in freely. I go into factory and they wouldn't let me in. The manager of the shop told them. So I preferred chances with him. You see, that was all fixed up. They put the skits under me. The union did. The union brothers. So could I have respect for him? Now you understand what I had to go through. So I decided that I don't want to die. I was too young to die. Yet I wanted to see the local grow. And if I go, unfortunately, I thought that it's kaput. And I wonder to this day, how in the hell is it that a person puts in so much of himself and then it disintegrates? What happened? What happened? So anyways, I went to Sam Levine and I explained, I told him what was going on. He couldn't help, you see. It's like, Is Nixon the only one that is at fault of what is going on? His luck is that poor men there. If Levine wouldn't have gone along, he didn't go along with everything, because he tried to do as much as he was able to. The fact is that I got under his skin, he got a heart attack, and I felt, not the kind of me, but I felt guilty. I got that written down. Did you come across that? You did? Mm-hmm. I felt so bad. And I went up to the hospital. Nobody was supposed to go up there, and Bessie Oman was sitting there. And I went up there and I kissed him. I smashed the window and I thought, well, here they're going to bring charges against me to go to this extent. I wouldn't go after, they didn't want to have that publicized either, because they knew that I was right.
So you went to Levine?
And I said, I won't be transferred. I don't want to take care of hearts for my I want to take care of outside shots. Now, you see, now, outside shots also had labor managers. There was Professor Price, Major so-and-so. They had more compassion. They weren't sold so much. They weren't so close. I had more sewing. I didn't know I was supposed to sell a price now. I didn't know how to deduct or how to. Addition, I knew how. They taught me how to set. They cooperated with me. They had pity on me, really. But in some places, even there, I come in, a presser, he works his kishkas out. He press, and he cries. And it sort of happened to the goddamn bus was a Hungarian bastard. I said, so, Mr. Berkowitz, you can't do this. You can't run a shop like that. This man has to make a living. You have children, haven't you? He said, well, I can't pay him anymore. I can't close the shop just because he can't. I said, listen, if you can't pay him a living wage, you're out of luck. So he went to complain against me to San Marino. See, this didn't work. This didn't work. So I went to Levine and so I told Levine, I said, what the hell do you want me to do? You want me to watch a thing like that? No, I said, I'm not going to take that. I don't give a damn. I'd better quit and let somebody else take care of it. I'm not going to watch anything like that. He went to the landslide telling what a bastard I am. I want to put him out of business. I had it from every side. He did go out of business. I didn't put him out of business. If he couldn't pay a living wage, so what business has he got to be in business? I wasn't interested in putting anybody out of business. If you put him out of business, what good would the union?
Well, so did you take him to the trade board? Is that it?
No.
Well, who was it that you took to the trade board?
I didn't take anybody to the trade board. I wouldn't take anybody to treatment. I was transferred myself away from this.
Oh, because there's a note where you say you're sitting there waiting to go.
Well, maybe like with some cases that I had. I don't know. I remember all. Suppose somebody was suspended and I put them back to work. Those were daily. That was routine. But I mean, the way they treated me, the obstacles that they put in my way. Now here, look, I have no blood. Everything is black. Now, I think I may mention this before already. I call a meeting, and I tell the people, nobody should hold back anything. If there's any complaint, I guarantee they'll drop to my life. They didn't dare. Because the shop chairman in there worked in cahoots with the management. You understand? And with the other businesses, we were three business agents in Rochester and Mark, and they all worked against me. Because I was a woman. I didn't want to play around with them. As I told you that my personal life was my personal life. Not that there was no attempt made, you know. When it came to it, I said good night. I still get worked up. See, that's when you live in the past. You rehash the past. I showed you a note, bastard. I never called him anything else but SB. I met him here, and I took him home, gave him a drink. It's almost unbelievable. They're union people, but still, I wouldn't go outside of the union, inside here. That's the way I. That's my belief to this day. Russian women's insight. I still don't believe. I don't believe in going outside.
Well, Sarah, what do you think about these women from different unions organizing into their own?
But I wanna study it. I wanna give it some thought. I don't know. I don't take everything for granted. I'm not. See, I go over that little pamphlet time and time again. There isn't a year that I can go through it. It's beautiful. It gives me, it does something. And that isn't the only thing that does something for me. There are other books that I refer to that feeds my soul. I need something for my soul, not for my body. My body's all right. And I can... when I able to walk. But I need something. It also convinces me that the lower strata, and I hate like hell to use that term, don't bring about a revolution. Take it for what it's worth. It takes a mind, a good mind, with a good heart. A good mind alone is not enough. They've got to have compassion with it. Maybe those people, they know that their life is in danger. And some of them went this far, and when they felt that their neck was getting in there, they changed their mind, didn't they? Quick. Well, I was one of those that I wouldn't have changed my mind. You could kill me. This is what I want for the workers. I mean, I can't compare myself. I couldn't be there a shoe shiner to these people. But I mean, I go along with their belief. And I believe that some of the people that I saw yesterday, they could too. But what are you going to do? You want to live? You have a half a dozen kids? What are you going to do? I mean, what are you going to do? I'm asking you.
Well, you try and live differently. See, a lot of people get involved in the whole world where they need more and more, so you have to owe your soul to more and more people.
Yeah. See, really, amongst a million, if you find one in a million, I get the chills. Now I admit, you see. So what has it got me now?
Well, Sarah, did you, like this organization, for instance, the idea of women from different unions getting together in an organization of their own, did you ever think about that in those early days? About working with women from a lot of different unions and trying to organize women that way? Did you ever think in those terms?
Well, what good will that do? I mean, get women what face? Factory workers, office workers, how do you want to bring them together? I don't get your question. I don't understand your question.
See, the idea of groups like this, I think, is that by union women from all different kinds of unions being in an organization together, that they develop
a united women union.
Uh-huh. To go back to their own union to do more organizing in their own union, you see, is what they're doing, really. But to push to gain more power that way, because there aren't enough women in any one union who are going to be that active. And certainly not in your day. I mean, not even now. But if you have women, a united women's union group, then they've got more power. Now, did you ever think
you know that many of the what do you call the Mexican group that they're trying to
the farm workers?
No, not the farmers. The American Mexicans.
The Chicanos.
They form their own political organization. They have strength. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Is that what you have in mind? Well, that's an all. Now you should have, like, if you would compare it to the AFL-CIO as the head, and then have branches affiliated with national organization. Let's say that this is my cry. Way back in 1920, I didn't care whether it was a pants maker, vest makers, coat makers. I wanted the women.
But it was still all within the amalgamation.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
But I mean, you never thought about in terms of like women from different industries, like the cigar, well, it's covered, there was no cigar makers, but say...
The cigar makers,
there were a lot of women in the cigar makers, in the printers.
Yes, yes.
To have a woman's, a single woman, besides the...
Yes, well, they should have representatives. They should have FLL has. Now they have a national organization and they have representatives there. And the general executive, but I know what you mean. I know what
you mean. Did you think about that at all then?
Did I think about
it? Then? The late
1910s, early 1910s? No, I didn't think that far. How many times will I make the confession that I did instinctively, more than knowingly. I've done things instinctively, not because out of knowledge or because I studied history. Don't you see? I've done things instinctively. I couldn't refer to the books that I'm reading now or read after that. I can't think of my own name right now. I mean, don't you understand, my dear girl?
Mm-hmm.
my dear child, I had no comprehension what I was doing. But I knew that I went into a shop, and I knew that these people are undermining the condition of this shop. And I felt that it was my duty, one would understand, to impart to them the knowledge or the experience that I had to better their condition. And if they didn't do it, I tried my best in a good way. I couldn't do it, I did it another way. But I did things instinctively, don't you see? Then, of course, later on, I had people like Professor Douglas and Lewin Hirsch and teach us. It was a different ballgame. But originally, the outside, how boy in the world would I have known anything like that? Where from? Yeah, from the shoe. From my father.
I don't think that that's where it's from. The whole...
Right now. What is my thinking amount to right now? If I can't remember the book that is so valuable to the labor movement, that's out of print now, you can't get it now for no money. I've got a sort of... I could kick myself. You see, it's terrible when I get a block like that. I understand what you're driving at. Well, how the only way it can be done is through education and agitation, and go back to the same thing. But you have to have it. You have to have it in every face in life, in the shop, in the new office. If you work, let's say that you work in the hospital, you give out the laundry, you dish out, there are women working there. Let's say there are 5,000 in the city of Los Angeles. There is a group that they should be organized into one local, but they should have a central body in the United States. I'm giving you an example. The same people that work in the laundry, that give out the, dish out the laundry, I don't know, it's service, whatever they call them. They have one in Chicago, one in Los Angeles, one in San Francisco, and throughout the country. Then you have a central body where they meet in a convention once a year or once in 2 years, and they communicate. They have a publication to inform them what goes on, what the scales are, what the conditions are. Is that what you have in mind?
Yeah, but see, you're still talking about within the same industry.
No.
Oh.
No, but I am giving you an example. This applies to one, and that goes through of the typist. You have an office that has 10 typists. And there are 2,000 typists in the city of Los Angeles. Get them together.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is more than, well, typists is not good because it's almost always women. Taking industries where there are both men and women, but as well as the unions that the women belong to, the women from each of those unions forming a union women's organization. Like the old... For instance, like the old Hebrew Trades Council, or
The old Hebrew Trade Council, the butcher, did they have women in there?
No, I'm using that as an example. They organized along a different line. So women would organize that same way. They just all the Jews did, or all the Italians, regardless of what union they were in.
Well,
I'm not pushing an idea on you. I just wanted to know if that kind of idea was part of your thinking in those early days at all.
Well, you need to separate them separate them. Now you have, for instance, you have, you have the intermobiliness. You have men and women. What do you want to separate them for?
No. Not that they're all together in their own union, but besides that, the women have like a caucus in their union and join with women from other unions.
That's what?
In order to devote more effort and develop skills and educate the women workers.
That's right. They have, in the early mobility, they have the same opportunity.
Oh, I don't think there's a single industry where women have the same opportunity.
In the early mobility? Have you got enough literature on that?
No, I don't, but I don't know of any single industry in this country where there is. Because women never get the same jobs. And the jobs they get are the low-paying ones. Same as in your day. If they have the same jobs, maybe they pay in the same, but they do the same thing. They don't give them the same jobs. They give them the less skilled jobs.
Well, if they're qualified, you mean, I don't understand. I don't get it at all. If you want more powerful women, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want them to, go into the automobile industry or the steel industry and insist upon doing the same kind of work that men are doing, is that what you want?
Anything they want to do.
If they're qualified, yeah, I'm all for it. But you're not going to do it. The only way that can be done is to liberate the man, as I said. Make them understand. You can make the women understand nothing. How can you make them understand?
Why do you put more hope in the men than in the women?
I don't. Let's say that the women are willing. But if, after all, who sits in the saddle? Who moves the saddle? Who sits in the saddle?